my listeners might be interested in the role of a broker, and kind of how you can add value to somebody and at what stage you would typically get involved in a transaction and kind of what your role is and potentially how you get paid and that sort of thing. So
I always say a broker is not dissimilar to, you can represent yourself in courts, but a lawyer would probably do a better job. With commercial finance, you could probably find a deal if you were looking in the right areas by yourself, but a broker will probably get you a better deal, okay?
Recording. Hi, I'm Duncan Krieger and welcome to DefenderCast. I have taken a little break from DefenderCast, but having been invited in by Ark & Co today to contribute to their podcast, I thought it would be good to swap seats and my trusted co-host is with me. What's your name?
Nick Russell, Sales Director of TAB. Good morning.
And if you guys would like to introduce yourselves and give us maybe more like a minute each, maybe one of you can give us a bit of background on Ark & Co as well, then I will give you a 15-minute grilling before we leave the building.
Hi, Duncan. Hi, Nick. My name is Matthew Yassin. I'm a director at Ark & Co. Previously at Corico in the city and in North London before that. I've been in the business for about almost 20 years now, both on the IFA and broking side. Been in the commercial space for a good 8-9 years. And worked with you in the past, funny enough. Yep. So I'm looking forward to this grilling.
Awesome.
Thank you, Duncan. My name's Julian, obviously senior asset advisor here at Ark & Co. Been here just over a year. Background's in development, so I've worked for about 5 or 6 years for a developer up in Birmingham as a land buyer, development management, asset management during 2007-2008 crash. Before moving on and advising and purchasing land for Sainsbury's supermarkets before coming back into London about 2013. Again, pretty much on the land and development side before landing here January last year.
Awesome. Very good. Thanks again for having us, guys. I want to ask you, I guess my listeners might be interested in the role of a broker and kind of how you can add value to somebody and at what stage you would typically get involved in a transaction and kind of what your role is and potentially how you get paid and that sort of thing. So
I always say a broker is not dissimilar to, you can represent yourself in courts, but a lawyer would probably do a better job. With commercial finance, you could probably find a deal if you were looking in the right areas by yourself, but a broker will probably get you a better deal, okay? The reason I say that is because there's a lot of variables when it comes to commercial finance, bridging, development, and anything outside of regulation. Brokers tend to know where the stones in the road are, for want of a better phrase, and how to avoid them. Whereas clients, if they do go direct, although the most lenders will take them with open arms, which, you know, is contentious if I'm honest, they tend to trip themselves up and there might be a better deal out there for the client. So there's a lot of misleading elements when brokers aren't involved. The benefit of having a broker is if something goes wrong, we've got the market to call on. You know, we know the individuals that we can pick the phone up. We can also tweak the dial when it needs tweaking and we can address an issue immediately rather than leaving the client, you know, with a down valuation on a bad day. You know, here's your valuation, good luck to find another lender. Brokers also do a lot of filtering, okay? So from a lender's perspective, when you get the lead, what we have done by that point, especially at Ark & Co, is we do our DD in-house, we do all of our checks online, we ensure that the client's who they say they are, we check where the money is, and a lot of lenders don't actually see this, but, you know, from, say, one client, we've probably filtered about 20 before they get to you, okay? And that filtering process really is down to the individual. How far do you want to delve into the client? You know, is it a real deal and so on? The reason we do this, especially at Ark & Co, is because we don't want to send you 20 deals and none of them complete, okay? The most I'd want to do is send you five and and three would go wrong, okay? Three out of the five. I would still not be happy with that statistic, okay? Because as a broker, it is our job to filter those clients, and it's also our job to put the case to you in a straightforward way. So one of you can pick it up and say, okay, I know that's a bridge. I know what it's for. I know who the client is. I can say a quick yes or a quick no.
I also think borrowers come to brokers or use brokers for knowledge. Yeah, there's obviously a lot of knowledge Matthew's just referred to there. In the development space, for example, you know, there's lender knowledge, and then there's deal structure knowledge. There's cash flow knowledge. So what we do, just picking up or adding to what Matt said, we'll do a lot of the underwriting in-house, but we're looking at and scrutinizing GDVs. Do they make sense? Do the appraisals make sense? Do the build costs make sense? Does the leverage make sense? Yeah, I think, Duncan, you referred earlier, on a bridge, how are we gonna be paid back? So we're looking at the structure, and I'm pulling down on my previous development experience, what I saw in 2008, 2009, 2010, when we're looking at a developer's compass and development finance, and he wants leverage at, say, 65%. Well, okay, we're going to fund all of the build costs. He's going through that. But more importantly, looking in reverse, what does the sales program look like? Because then when are you going to be out of the loan? Okay, that will then save on interest. It's not all about the pricing in the deal. It's about cash flow and how quickly you can come in and out. So then what does that look like? Are they confident on that? Does the marketing report support that? We bring all this into play. And then if we've done our job correctly, we've made it easier for the borrower to then go through the KYC and picking up on some of the things Matt said, to get the money out the door, get it working and get it repaid. Then what if we do that correctly? The client has obviously delivered a scheme, which is really what he wants to do. That's his livelihood.
Yeah, I also think we need to manage expectations on the client side. It's not uncommon for me to have a client in front of me walking in and asking for perhaps a rate that's outside of his reach, okay? And it's for us to determine their opinion on where their inquiry fits in the market, because we all know there's, a tier one, tier two, and a tier three position, and everyone wants to be in a tier one position, but it doesn't get the gearing, it doesn't get the flexibility, timeframes, etc. So we do need to manage that expectation. Yeah, and sort of take it forward. One thing I do understand is, some brokers are marked with the sort of pen of not opening attachments and just forwarding them on. That's a very bad practice, and I don't know many brokers that do that, because I think to broker a case, you've got to understand what you're doing. Simply because if Duncan or Nick call me up and ask me, what's going on here, I need to know the answer to that. And the client would expect me to know the answer to that with the money that we'd earn off the back end.
Yeah, we've had the odd deal saying, to whom it may concern, BCC'd. I have received a few of those deals. And look, previously being a broker, now being a lender, do I give it as much attention as I possibly could if I've got five other deals on my desk that have been specifically sent to me? I know I've got either first option or there's only two or three other lenders I'm competing with. Honestly, probably not. Because, time is our greatest commodity. And I think if I'm going to get a deal, I want to make sure that, one, that person's giving me their time, so I'm going to give my time back. If I know it's just been thrown against the wall and whatever sticks, they'll go with that. I think it's human nature.
I would reflect what you've just said there, because it's not dissimilar to, we get a client who's speaking to five different brokers.
Yeah, I was going to ask you
and
that.
And at that level, I respect my time. And I always say, you've mastered your industry when you can walk away from business. Now, when we all started in business, we would try on every single lead. We'd probably waste a lot of time, chase that pink elephant around the room. But now, okay, and the guys at Ark & Co., when you can actually say, do you know what? I'm going to walk away from you. I'm going to say no. That's when you become a little bit more experienced and you respect your
There's
own
power
time.
In that.
Let me pick up on, so one thing you said is that you do some filtering, not just obviously for us, but for lenders specifically, and it might be that one in 10 or one in five. What's typically the reason why you wouldn't be able to help someone, apart from the fact that they're trying to use you as leverage against their existing broker or their existing bank, and that's something you might not want to get involved with? What's the reason why people aren't able to deliver on their sort of personal circumstances at the moment?
Sometimes it comes down to the requirement of the lender. Lenders, brokers, clients, we're all personalities. Excuse me. So it might come down to right, what does his A&L look like? What's his stance on PG, for example?
Yeah.
You know, and you go, okay, well, there are three or four lenders in this camp which won't support because they want 100% PG.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite onerous. So then we're obviously not going to present to those lenders because there's no there's no fit. So we've diluted to, it's almost like a, you know, a flow diagram to go, well, which are the best lenders to present this deal to.
Yeah.
And then, so that's more about your kind of filtering process of finding the right lender at the right time. But are there people, maybe down to valuations not stacking up or not having enough equity or not having enough experience? Or is there a kind of recurring theme of customers that are kind of want your help, but they're not necessarily, you're having to educate them about why?
I think it'd be naive for me to say that 50 to 60% of the clients have already knocked on the door of finance and received a no, perhaps, by the time they land on a broker's desk.
Okay.
By virtue of what I said earlier, anyone can probably knock on one of the bigger guys and they will either do the finance or not. But going back to your question, a lot of clients have got, you know, tier one rates in their mind, okay, because it's been advertised, or my friend down the pub told me I can do this. And that sort of attitude or that perception from a client's perspective is where the broker does his job, okay, via questioning. It's all about how you can question a client down to the skeleton, okay, and then redress them with actually what you can do for them.
Yeah.
You know, I've had many different clients in front of me saying many different things. A couple of weeks ago, there was a guy walked in who had very, very good terms from a development lender, senior loan, and the deal was in the market. But, you know, via a couple of questions, we realized he'd already instructed a valuation. He was just fishing for a better rate. And it was actually a very bad rate that he had because the loan was compounded. So I showed him very quickly on a mathematical way that his lower interest rate is worse than a higher interest rate. And that was that showed the value of a broker to him, and now he's a client, etc. So I think there's a lot of misleading elements in the market when it comes to things like that. But you know, a broker's job is not easy. It's not a case of picking up a lead, throwing it to a couple of lenders and hoping that you get paid 1%. It's so much more than that, and it's actually the client side, what the lender doesn't see, the management, the questioning, and the refusal to do the business.
Yeah.
You know, I've walked away from some big deals in the past simply because A, I didn't believe the client will tell me the truth. B, you know, what do I jeopardize? Do I jeopardize my reputation with the lenders by getting terms and putting it forward and the deal not proceeding? Or do I simply say, you know what, it's a good deal, but on this occasion, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, three or four times I've done that, the client's actually chased me to do the deal. So you're right about the power.
Yeah. Coming back to Duncan's question, it comes down to risk at the end of the day. Some clients are really good, really good. So they're going to be able to get those rates, tier one rates that Matt's alluding to. You know, those that, you know, maybe they don't have such a strong track record. Maybe the A&L doesn't support the loan that they want to get. You know, maybe there's a problem, maybe there's some adverse, or maybe there's some problem with the site. The risk goes up. Typically, loans will be priced accordingly to the risk. Some borrowers, the risk might be too great, and we can't place that in the market.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to get across, and what I think would be good, is if you could tell people kind of the full-scale offering at Ark & Co. And are there people... this is kind of a question I'm not quite sure about myself. Is there people who have specialist subjects? Like, clearly you've got extensive development experience. If a development loan came in to one of the guys in the office, if you could give a kind of really quick overview of how Ark & Co. works and how many people are here, etc., would you sort of call on the resources of the entire team, draw on the experience, or do you kind of all run your own desk, if you like?
So we all sit on a floor together. There's what? 8, 9, 10 of us.
10 of us, yeah.
On the floor. We sit with the CEO, we sit with the MD. We're typically running our own books. We've all got knowledge in different areas. That's why, you know, we're a good team. We sit in here on a Tuesday morning every week, and we talk about deals that we've completed, who we've completed those deals with, and any problem cases. And that brings the individual knowledge and experience of the room together at least once a week, and from there that will spur ideas. Do we need to go and sit down for an hour and actually go through? So we're all supporting one another, we've all got each other's back, but at the same time we're always running, you know, obviously running our own book as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'd reflect what Julian said there. I think we try and act in a uniform sort of way by talking about the deals that we've done. what was good, what was bad. Okay, it was that lender. What did you experience? Their flexibility? Did they pick the phone up? Again, we're probably not going to have time to touch on this, but BDMs that don't pick their phone up, that's a very common problem that all brokers have.
Yeah.
Okay, you'd be surprised to hear that. But
it's so important.
I'm communication. Not surprised to hear that.
But at Ark & Co, look, there's a team of, you know, 10, 12 on the structured side. And you know, as you know, we do bridging, we do development finance and commercial term products. And there are experts in one. Julian can, you know, can put a cash flow together very quickly for any developer that needs it. But the key here is we share experiences and we don't scattergun. So let's say a deal comes in, it's a bridge, who do we go to? We'll probably go to two, okay? And we probably will allow the two to know that we're speaking to two. If both of them say no, it's another two and another two, rather than, you know, an email to seven different lenders. Six of those lenders get 10 of those emails with no deals a year.
So and that's not the way on the wall behind you, it says Ark & Co, Property, Marine, Aviation. So I guess we've talked a lot about bridging loans today for obvious reasons. Yeah. Just tell me what people could contact Ark & Co for, the kind of property. Because I'm thinking, I'll buy my first house. Is that the sort of customer you want? And if that house is 250,000 or 2.5 million, does that make a difference? And then if they also want to finance their boat and their plane, I mean, what types of things do you... range of architecture.
Yeah, I think we do obviously
checking its finance it's
property. We do obviously finance
property and what?
You know, property, marine, and aircraft. Okay, because of the market that we're in. All right, we do a lot of high net worth and ultra high net worth pan European stuff. Okay. Portfolios, and we're regularly in Zurich, and we're regularly in Meppen, as you know. So you know, the possibility of financing an aircraft or a yacht comes with the type of client that we generally deal with.
Okay.
If I was to strawberry pick, I would deal with anybody with a £250,000 loan upwards.
Yeah.
I've met my biggest clients on the smallest inquiries. So it would be naive for any broker out there to just turn their nose up if it hasn't got six zeros at the back end.
Yeah.
And I certainly hope nobody at Ark & Co would do that. But yeah, I mean, it's a suite.
Regulated mortgages?
We've got a regulated mortgage department, which transacts very well with our structured team.
Okay.
So collectively, we can do your residential first-time buyer. We can do your family that are uplifting to a larger house in central London or beyond. We can also look at your developer who's a first-time developer.
Or property abroad, plus. You mentioned as well.
Yeah, so for example, I'm looking at a portfolio in Stockholm at the moment, and we've done some stuff in France. I've done a funding line in France for 49 chalets, and things like that. So we're an open broker, European-based broker, who can look at most financial requirements, and we like working with lenders like yourself.
Awesome.
The aviation, like, I mean, was born out of really some of the clients. Yeah, we were doing the mortgages in the regulated space. We've got the structured finance team that does all the commercial space. But some of those clients, you know, we start from the small, as Matt said, you know, no loan's too small, right the way up to £100 million loan.
Sure.
Some of those guys that are refinancing hotel portfolios are, you know, 100 million or 70 million several times a year. Probably have a boat, they probably have a plane,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe they don't, and maybe they need one, and we can help with that as well.
Yeah,
so that's really how it just came out of the client book that we had.
Nick, have you got any questions for the guys?
I love putting you on the spot.
No.
Well, the market started pretty well this
year.
Yeah,
it's been a great start to the year.
Yeah, we wish you guys loads of success, and I appreciate you've supported me personally as a business. I've known Ed and Andy for a very long time. Andy and I did one of the very, very first deals that I ever did in my previous business. So we appreciate the support, and I feel confident that we can build a good working relationship.
Definitely.
Likewise. Thanks, guys. We appreciate the questions, actually. Thanks very much.
Good. Well done.
Cheers. Thank you. Thank you.